In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking again at Luke's Gospel. I'm looking at the 12th chapter, the 49th verse. I, Jesus is speaking, have come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I have a baptism to be baptized with, that's on the cross, and how I am anxious till it be accomplished. Suppose you that I came to give peace on the earth. I tell you no, but rather division. We know that when people receive Jesus Christ, they separate themselves from other people. What's happening in the Middle East? The people that are Christian are being killed because they belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I have come to bring division. What kind of division? Division in faith, that those who believe and those who do not believe. Do you believe today? Are you a real believer? Do you believe in the blood of the Lamb? Do you believe in the cross of Jesus Christ? For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. Why? Because of Jesus. And father shall be divided against the son, and son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And he said all this to the people. When you see a cloud rising out of the west, you say, there comes a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there shall be heat, and so it is. You hypocrites can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you have not been able to discern what I say? Yes, why even yourselves judge not what is right? When you go and with your adversary to the magistrate, as you are, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, and he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer cast you into prison. I say to you, you shall not depart thence till you have paid the last penny. I tell you, my friends, that this whole thing of division because of Jesus Christ, you can mention God, you can talk about God, God can be anything, but when you talk about Jesus, the dividing line is there. There will be people who believe and people who do not believe. There will be those that say, yes, Lord, and there will be those that say, no, you're a fanatic. This is real. This is real. Jesus is the question, and Jesus is the answer, because Jesus causes that kind of division. What kind of division is it? It's division of faith. People know instinctively that if they give their life to Jesus, their life is not their own anymore. They know that instinctively. They cannot put that into words, maybe, but they know that in their innermost being. They want the control over their lives, therefore they reject Jesus. With chapter 13. There were present at that time some that told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. This really happened. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose you see these Galileans were sinners above the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. We see Jesus doing most of his miracles in Capernaum and in Bethsaida. Oh, yes. And yet he curses them. Why? Because they do not repent. They do not have a change of heart. They do not. They are not different. They just get the miracles. They're bread and butter Christians. They're Christians to see that these things are given to us. Yes, healing is for us, but there is no change of heart. So Jesus curses Capernaum. What about the 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them? Do you think that these were sinners above all the men that dwell in Jerusalem? This really happened. And he said, no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance, a change of heart. Repentance, a change of heart. That's why we have the sacrament of confession. The sacrament of penance. He spake also a parable. A certain man had a fig tree and was planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit therefore and found none. Well, what do you expect a tree to produce? Those fig trees should be producing fruit. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Cut it down to the ground. And he answered and said to him, Lord, let it alone this year till I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then you cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues. The fig tree represents Israel. God wants Israel as well as the Gentiles to produce fruit. We look at the 15th chapter of St. John. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. God is looking for fruit. Jesus is looking for fruit. He's not only looking for leaves to make rice and whatever they do with the leaves of the grapevine. God is looking for fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it would bring forth more fruit. God and Jesus wants us to produce fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit are people who come to believe, people who give their lives to Jesus. You see, it's more than the Ten Commandments. It's giving our lives to Jesus. It's surrendering our lives. It's receiving the baptism of the Spirit. It's going out to minister to people. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. We are called to abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will produce much fruit. We need to be fruit bearers. We need to see God calling people to himself. I thank God that I'm on the radio speaking to people today. Do you know Jesus? Do you know his love? Do you know his power? Do you know that he is looking for you? Do you know that he forgives sins? Do you know that he's come to seek and save that which was lost? Do you know that? I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will produce much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That is absolutely clear. Without Jesus we can do nothing. Do you know that? Maybe that's why you've been banging your head against the wall. Banging your head against the wall because you've produced no fruit and you're feeling like life is just miserable. Give your life to Jesus today. How do I do that? Jesus, I give you my life. I need you more than I need the breath that I take. You see, that will cause division because people will say, you're a Jesus freak. I tell you, I'm a Jesus freak, and that's who I am. People don't like it. They can just lump it. I remember doing a funeral, And the lady was a rich lady, and she had given everything to her lawyer. And I'll never forget, I preached Jesus at the funeral. And he, at the end of the funeral, went up to center and said, he says nothing but Jesus Christ, and Jesus giving our life to Jesus. Who is this man? Well, this man was a lawyer who was looking for money from the poor widow, and he probably got very rich, but he's as poor as they make it. Why? Because Jesus is not part of his life. Jesus is not his life. I tell you, Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. Let's continue. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years, she was all crunched over and was bowed down and could in no way lift herself. And when Jesus saw this woman, he called her to himself and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she became straight and glorified God. Now you're going to have the people that are on the watch, the policemen, seeing that Jesus is doing something wrong, rather than rejoicing that this woman was made whole, rather than rejoicing that God, through Christ, healed this woman, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, "There are 6 days to which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day." This is sick. This is sick. They should be rejoicing. They saw a miracle in their sight. They should be rejoicing, but they're not. They're looking to catch Jesus that he heals on the Sabbath. I tell you, he'll heal any day he wants. Makes no difference to Jesus. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. The poor Pharisees didn't know that. The Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead them to go for water? Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom the enemy Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The people rejoiced, not the Pharisees. The Pharisees saying, "No, he did it on the Sabbath. He can't be a holy man." Let me tell you, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord. Do you know that today? Do you know that Jesus is your Lord today? That he has plans for your life. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "Plans to give you a future and a hope." And you say, "But I don't understand that. I don't feel that." Jesus says through Jeremiah's prophecy, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you seek me and seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord." Let's continue. The parable of a mustard seed. Then Jesus said, "Unto what shall the kingdom of God be like? And thereupon shall it resemble? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew, and it became a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." What's Jesus trying to say? That the kingdom of God starts very small. Oh yes, very small, like a mustard seed. But it grows as we use our faith. It's all about believing. It's all about faith. Where is your faith today? Is your faith in your faith, or is your faith in Jesus? What kind of faith do you have today? Is your faith in your faith, or is your faith in Jesus? And again, he said, "What shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened," risen. Yes, it starts off small, but it ends up big. I tell you, we need the kingdom of God. What does our Father say? "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder how many are experiencing that. That the kingdom of God would come. That the will of God would be done in me as it is in heaven. In heaven there's no one sick. In heaven there's no one gossiping. In heaven there's no one saying bad things about people. In heaven, you only have the Lord and His people that are in worship and that are praising Him, that are adoring Him, that are with Him. In heaven, things are wonderful. There is no night in heaven. It is always day in heaven. I tell you, God wants us to experience the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. How do I know that? Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. Jesus speaks of the straight gate. And He went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. When He said to one, Lord, are there many that shall be saved? And Jesus said unto them, strive to enter by the narrow gate. For many, I say, will seek to enter in and not be able. The narrow gate. Who is the narrow gate? Jesus said, I am the gate. Yes, it's Jesus. He is the narrow gate. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and knock on the door saying, Lord, Lord, open the door, saying, Lord, Lord, how shall He answer you? I know you not, and I know not where you come from. Then shall He begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. But He shall say, I tell you, I do not know you, whence you are and where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, and the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. The narrow gate is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the narrow gate. Have you chosen Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Or have you given your life to witchcraft and to demons? I tell you, if you've given your life to Jesus, your life will be fruitful. If you don't give your life to Jesus, you're in a ditch, and you don't even know that you're in a ditch. Jesus Christ is the narrow way. That same day, certain of the Pharisees came unto Him, get out, depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus said unto them, go and tell that fox Herod, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I shall be perfected, talking about His resurrection. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Oh, I remember when I was in Jerusalem and I heard that my mother had died. And the only thing I could think of was that scripture, that a prophet does not perish except in Jerusalem. And I said, oh, Jesus, I'm in Jerusalem. I'm with the prophets. I'm suffering. My mother is in Boston. I am in Jerusalem. Oh, yes, no prophet suffers except in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone them, and they are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you wouldn't come. Oh, please, as Jesus is gathering you under His wings, say, Lord, here I am. I come to do your will. Here I am, I come to do your will. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And truly I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you shall say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, Jesus came to give us life. He came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Jesus came that we would produce fruit. That's real fruit production. Jesus is looking for fruit on our vines. The name of the broadcast is In Season and Out of Season. I've got to preach when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. And maybe one person is listening today. Maybe one person is hearing the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for his sins, that he was buried and on the third day rose from the dead. Maybe one person is saying, I give my life to Jesus. Maybe there's just one person. And you know what? That's enough. One person is enough. I understand that tomorrow at Revere Beach, I think starting at 12 o'clock, they'll be preaching and teaching, trying to bring the lost to Christ. If you're free, you can go to Revere Beach tomorrow. You'll find the preachers and teachers preaching and singing and praising God. Reaching the beach for Jesus, yes. That's wonderful. Revere Beach. Reaching the people for Jesus. I remember being in Nantucket many years ago. I remember with my Mickey Mouse shirt on, and there were preachers preaching. Oh, yes, they were preaching their hearts out. And I sat on the bench listening to them. It was wonderful to listen to them. And then this man, who was a stodgy old man, looked at the preacher and said, I'm a Catholic, and the Catholic Church teaches you can have Buddha as your Savior and go to heaven. So I stand up and I say, I'm a priest, and the Catholic Church teaches that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Do you believe it? He soon shut up. He soon shut up. There I am with my Mickey Mouse shirt on. What happens? I sit down again. I didn't want to take the thunder away from the preachers. It's just the way it is that people have no idea. They have no idea. They think, well, you know, everyone's going to heaven. I believe in God. Who's your God? That's the issue. Who is your God? That's the issue. That's the issue. Who is your God? Some people have light bulbs as their God. That's stupid. Stupid. Oh, yes, my God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know whom I have believed in, and he is faithful to keep me till the last day when I shall see him face to face by the grace of God. It's all by the grace of God. It has nothing to do with my good works, has everything to do with the grace of God, and the grace of God produces good works by the grace of God. It's all about the grace of God. Tomorrow at Revere Beach, you can join the preachers and the teachers and the singers rejoicing in the Lord. I also want to tell you about, that's Saturday, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. I'm talking about Saturday. Saturday at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, there will be a rally to defund Planned Parenthood. It will go from 10 to 12 o'clock in the noon, and it's on August 22nd on Saturday. So two things are happening on the 22nd of August. The reaching the people on the beach for Jesus, it starts at 12 o'clock. It ends at 7, and 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, Planned Parenthood, a rally to defund Planned Parenthood, and it's going to be from 10 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock noon. That's Saturday, the 22nd of August. Do you know that we are called to be the light of the world? Do you know that we are called to be the salt of the earth? I just had some popcorn. And you know, they wouldn't be very good without salt. It would be so bland. But the salt makes the popcorn taste more like popcorn than it would if you didn't have salt. That's real. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. The church is the salt of the earth, and who is our master? Oh, the narrow gate. His name is Jesus. He's the Lord. He came to give us life. He came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word, and according to your will. Yes, Lord. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The name of that prayer is the Angelus. You can Google it. The Angelus, A-N-G-E-L-U-S, the Angelus. And I want to ask you to please send in your donation so that we can pay our July bills. We owe $26,000, and I need your help. I'm here every day proclaiming the Word of God. I need your help. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.